I'm Gene Kansas. You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. We cover the arts, architecture, design, development, city planning, preservation. Today's show, Little Five Points.
It's a place to be. I mean, there's actually street life. And I think that that's one of the great things about it, is it's actually a place that's alive.
Little Five Points was raucous, but I was raucous at that point, so it was perfect. I can't imagine at this advanced age living in the back of the store and working as hard as I did back then.
Atlanta seemed pretty vibrant back then, too. I think it always has been for the most part of the last century. It was kind of a wonderland. And Five Points was just one of those neighborhoods that just sort of stood out. Certainly wasn't a full-time artist at that point. That's a long time ago. But, I mean, I was on fire with all of it. You know, I was just trying to do everything, get my hands on everything and get into everything.
In Spanish, there's a saying that says, I don't know if this is going to translate well, but it says, God creates them and then they find each other. So I think that these places, whether it be Little Five Points or it be Alphabet City in New York, are places where people that are like-minded come together. And then the cities create opportunities for them to be. So I think that's what it really is.
One of the reasons I'm here is I'm a refugee, like thousands of other people that have come from all parts of the country and this region in particular. They're seeking refuge from that kind of, it's not even that it's just mass culture, but it's this kind of lack of community. And so there is a feeling of community here, and I've always connected with that, and I've always wanted to be able to be a part of it and feel so at home here. And that, with a lot of the places that make this place special, you know, Elmire, Yacht Club, Criminal is that.
I'd had the store in Florida. It was more of a clubhouse. It really wasn't much of a store, but I was 19 at the time. And my brother moved up here to Atlanta, and I just helped him move one weekend, and I fell in love immediately, specifically with Little Five Points. And in Daytona, they're, I guess, the center of culture. Music culture, pop culture was my own little record store and what I could create in a kind of a tourist town. So when I saw Atlanta for the first time, it was, I moved up 2 weeks later. It was that powerful of a visit.
People are drawn to being with people that share common interests. And then when those interests are interesting, then it brings other people to see it. And then it starts creating this sort of vibrant life, which is really what you want.
My guests today are Manuel Cadreca, principal and design director at Perkins & Will.
There's a certain characteristic that's formed by the people that make up those spaces that make you feel uniquely welcome, that takes you away from everything else in the cities. So whenever I go to a city, I always try to find the Little Five Points.
Eric Levin, founder of Criminal Records and owner of Aurora Coffee.
I know some people travel to go skiing and surfing, and people play sports and other things, but I go to record stores, so I...
And Ronnie Land, one of Atlanta's most colorful and conspicuous public artists.
I don't know what it really represents other than it's just my voice. It's kind of what I do and what I've always known. It's my way to communicate.
You listen to Sidewalk Radio. I'm your host, Gene Kansas. Today's show, Little Five Points. This past weekend, Little Five Points held its annual Halloween parade, the largest in the city and one of the most vibrant in the country, with its DIY floats filled with characters, candy, live music, and all the eccentricities the neighborhood has to offer. It is truly the perfect expression of the neighborhood's creative spirit. So maybe it's best to think of today's show as the color commentary for the past weekend's festivities, an exploration about the history and voices that create Little Five Points' unique cultural standing in the city of Atlanta.
The way that Little Five Points began, like a lot of these places, they're kind of transitory places. They're streets, they're networks, they're crossings. And when Inman Park was created and Candler Park, I think that became sort of a nexus village for it. In the 70s, it was a horrible place. It was interesting, but horrible. I was in architecture school. I was about 19 years old, and our professor at Georgia Tech sent us, he said that your site's in Little Five Points, and we were like, okay. And he goes, I want you to go over there and measure it and document it. And, you know, we all went over there, 19 years old, and measured and documented this place that was like wall-to-wall pawn shops. And it was not a place you really wanted to be. Now, I don't remember exactly what it was that we were doing, because that was a long time ago when I was at Georgia Tech. But we did all the wrong things. Because when we went out there, we didn't really see as kids the potential for what that could be. And we actually did the opposite things. We made suggestions that really kind of sanitized it. And that would have been the wrong thing to do. People want to be where things are going on. And yet the way that cities have been done for the past, you know, 40, 50 years have eliminated all of that. And it's almost like the cities have been organized so well that they've organized life out of it.
There are, of course, city rules, but there really aren't necessarily neighborhood rules. I mean, if somebody put up something that completely didn't fit, I'm sure we, as a neighborhood, would react in some way. But I love the anything goes mentality. 20 years ago, maybe 19 years ago, one of the first things we did at Criminal was a huge graffiti mural on the front of the store. And that at the time was ahead of its time. I mean, graffiti culture was nowhere near what it is now. And I definitely got into a bunch of trouble in the neighborhood. And it's actually the only beef I ever got into with my landlord. And we handled it, you know, like gentlemen. But it was like, you know, dude, come on. That's ridiculous. You got to paint that over. And I was arguing that it was art. And now, you know, here we just finished the Living Walls Conference in the city with, you know, 40 public graffiti works, and including the front of Criminal, which another artist came in and was given that as a canvas.
Can you describe visually what Criminal is, what it looks like, how it feels?
Sure. Well, the new store is what we'd always wanted, what I'd always wanted. It's big, and it has, you know, a permanent stage and listening stations, DJ booths, comic books, magazines, candy, DVDs, toys. It's certainly a record store first and foremost, but it's inherently so much more. And usually, like when I travel, I'll, you know, if I'm in somewhere unfamiliar, I'll just ask the taxi driver, like, where's the record store? Because invariably that's where the coffee shop is and the consignment clothing place and the venue. And not that record stores can create communities, but they can certainly help anchor them. Record stores beget other businesses, other like-minded businesses. And I've seen that at Shake It. Grimey's in Nashville is amazing. It's a started in a store. I'm sorry, in a home. And you would walk into the living room and that was the record collection. And you could go into the kitchen and get yourself a beer. It was an amazing record store. And he's now moved. I think it's about a 4,000 square foot store, and it's not better now in the new store than when it was in the house, but it's a better record store. Might not be as much fun.
Now, what's interesting about Little Five Points to me is that, A, they've maintained sort of a purity of environment, and yet when you go to Junkman's Daughter on Saturday or Sunday, you have to pay a phenomenal amount to park your car. Because if you looked at the license plates, there's people from Cobb County and Gwinnett County that are coming into town because they don't have that. You have to come here for that, and that Little Five Points has actually set itself up to be able to be hospitable to people from the outside. That's what I've always found interesting about it. So that people that come from the outside, that may be from completely different political points of view, actually feel fine being there. And I think that's one of the great aspects of Little Five Points.
For us that, you know, live in Atlanta or visit here, Little Five Points is extremely unique. And for all of that singular character, it's really kind of interesting to consider that, in a way, all cities have their own Little Five Points, these alternative enclaves that are the eventual cultural byproduct of modern city living.
I think that they're all sort of expressions or heightened reactions to either culture, business, arts. In California, it's health. You know, Venice Beach, you know, is kind of like this. It's like the heightening of health. You know, and you go and you see the guys working out on the beach, and that's what California is all about. But somehow it's elevated to pop culture in Venice Beach, and in San Francisco it's about the you know, with Haight-Ashbury, which is now kind of like a theme park. But then in the 60s it was the mecca for there's something wrong with this country and we're going to change it, and that was the counterculture. In New York, and it's about the arts, whether it be music or writing or painting. In Atlanta, I think it's about commerce, because Atlanta was founded on commerce, and the namesake of Little Five Points, which is Five Points as the origin for the city. Little Five Points is also a reflection, a mini reflection of the intersection of commerce, except that Little Five Points, instead of being the corporate commerce that basically has been spread around Atlanta, it's the anti-corporate culture. It's sort of a smaller value system. So in a way, it's very interesting, because it does represent a reaction to and an alternative offering of the way that cities can be and the things that you can get, because you can't buy the things that you can buy in Little Five Points anywhere else in Atlanta.
You're listening to Sidewalk Radio, brought to you by Perkins and Will. Today's show, Little Five Points.
It's one of those places, for some people, it's just the week, people who come into town for the weekend and want a funky experience. But I don't think about it as funky necessarily. But it is, I guess.
Few people have left as definitive and literal a mark in Little Five Points as Ronnie Land.
Even in the earliest days, you know, when I was... probably should have been putting money into the store or into savings or something. I was buying Finster's pieces and Ronnie Land's pieces, because they were $15 to $30 back in those days. And I never bought either as a investment. I loved the artwork. And that's mostly how I got to know Ronnie, just by being a patron. And at this point now, 20 years later, my home is... a Ronnie gallery or a museum of sorts, but I think a lot of us in Atlanta have a similar collection. My wife even came to the relationship with a couple Finsters and Ronnie's.
Most things start by just sort of doodling or playing around with lines and not really thinking about what I'm doing, and then all of a sudden there is something on the paper that looks, that sort of is interesting to me. And then I just expound upon it. Sometimes the rough sketch that's just like straight off, just the rough immediate doodle that I do to sort of form a really incredibly loose composition that then later becomes a finished drawing. I always wind up liking the loose sketch more, because it's almost like I don't truly appreciate things that are too worked out or too complete. Sometimes I think the spirit gets lost. The image, the original image, whether it's subconscious or otherwise, is usually more interesting and is more expressive.
I think it's actually a really nice parallel, in a way, to the way that enclaves like Little Five Points developed, which were organic or very natural and loose. There wasn't this, like, we're going to build and this is what it's going to look like.
Right.
It just happened, and there was one shop, and then another store, and then
it's varied. It's they're unique buildings. They're not fancy, you know. They're immediate, and the scale is good. They're distinctive. It seems like in so many other parts of the city, everything is about looking like like everything else, because when people do a development, they want to know that the way that they're doing the development has been done 10 different times before, and that it's all been successful, so then they do it again. The way that Little Five Points grew, and when you look at those buildings, it grew the old-fashioned way, where somebody would just come and say, okay, well, I'm going to put a store here, and I'm going to put a store next to it, and put a store next to it. And you start building this very rich urban fabric that respects a setback, that respects a street, that respects a scale, and that creates the identity of whoever it was that built it. You know, that the city grows not through big moves, but through small moves.
That's one of the things I think that Five Points, and Atlanta in general, it's interesting how some towns can completely over time just become, they just sort of lose their soul. And Atlanta has always had a soul, but it continues to lose really great things and gain really great things. And then some things stick around for a really long time and are just always part of the landscape. And Five Points, it's surprising how it is still that kind of place after all these years. And it just became more and more that kind of place. And I'm just, when I really think about it, it's amazing that Five Points still holds its own. That many shops have come and gone, many restaurants and bars, but there are still those that represent that same basic aesthetic.
I like to think that we're an important factor in Little Five and that the neighborhood will be less special if we have to leave. I think that's true. But I would say the same thing for Crystal Blue or Stefan's or Aurora. I hope that some of the community outpouring that we've seen at Criminal is a result of the good work we've done. Years of in-stores and hopefully good service. And I think that's proving out.
I'd like to thank my guests today, Manuel Kadreka, Eric Levin, and Ronnie Land. Of course, I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Perkins & Will. I'm your host, Gene Kansas. See you next month.